I was thinking this week just about major moments in history, major moments in life when things happen. And I had this thought on major moments when big things happen, it seems like whatever words that are spoken are more memorable. Whatever words that are spoken, they sink into our minds, they sink into our hearts, they're this unforgettable thing, and we carry them with us. And one of the best examples, our kids were actually talking about it this week, that it sort of reminds me of this, is when man lands on the moon, right? Neil Armstrong lands on the moon, and everyone in here right now is thinking about the words that he said. He said, it's one small step for man, one giant leap. You know this, right? One giant leap for mankind. Even if you didn't see it live, watch it live, hear about it live. It was such a memorable moment. The words end up sticking with us. And that's what we're going to see in God's Word this morning. If you've got a Bible, open up to Acts chapter 20, and we're going to see a moment just like this, a major moment in the history of the church. In Acts chapter 20, we're going to see the last words of Paul, the missionary, the pastor, the last words of Paul to the leaders of the church in Ephesus, the church that he invested more time in than any other church on all of his missionary journeys. If your Bible's open, look at Acts 20. We're going to start in verse 17 this morning, and it says this. Now from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus, and he called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, Paul said to them, now before I show what he said, we just need to make sure we have the context. The context here is important because knowing how they got together brings more weight to the moment. It brings more weight to the message, to the words that he's about to share with them. Paul's in a hurry at this stage of his life. He's trying to move fast. He's in a boat and he's going to Jerusalem, and he wants to end up in Jerusalem before Pentecost. But as he goes, he's nearing Ephesus and he really wants to stop. He really wants to meet with these guys one more time. And so his boat pulls into Miletus, 20 miles south of Ephesus. And it's from there that he sends a messenger and he tells the elders of that church in Ephesus to come down and meet with him one last time. There's little time to spare, but he's so close that he's got to stop to pour into these guys with one last message. It's too important for him to miss, and it's too important for the elders in Ephesus to miss. They're putting in a lot of effort here too. These guys walked 40 miles round trip to hear these last words, and I can promise you they would not have done that for just anyone. They knew that the moment, and they knew that the message in the moment was that important. It was for them, and as we read this, my prayer is that we'll see it's that important for us as well. Paul knows he's not going to see them again, and so he gives them instructions on how to live a godly life and how to lead other people to live a godly life. As we read these words, doesn't matter who we are, how long we've been walking with Jesus, every one of us can learn more about walking with Jesus. And as we read these words, every one of us can learn more about leading others to walk with Jesus. Some of us might have leadership roles in the church, some of us might not, but I can promise you this, every one of our lives, we have leadership and we have influence over the ones around us. And the words that he shares here, this moment, this last words to the church in Ephesus, they're gold for us when it comes to godly living and godly leadership. So if you take notes, you can just write that at the top of your page, lessons for godly living and godly leadership. Let's pick it back up in verse 18. He writes, or he says this to them, you yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time. From the first day I set my foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility, with tears, and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. The first lesson that he gives them is simply this, serve Jesus alone. Serve Jesus alone. I shared that with James, our worship leader, earlier this week, and his first question was, does that mean I have to do this by myself? No, we mean serve Jesus only, right? Let your life be about serving him. At the very beginning of his last words to them, he reminds them of his own life and how he lived among them. Look at verse 18, in the beginning of verse 19, it says, from the first day that he set his foot among them, he was serving the Lord. There's a reason this comes first in these last words, in this moment. It's because everything else that he's going to say is going to flow from a desire to serve Jesus. You want to live a godly life? Seek to serve Jesus. You want to be a godly leader or have a godly influence on the people around you? Seek to serve Jesus. Paul knew that as followers of Christ, that's what we're called to do. And so he makes that his goal. He stays humble. He fights off any temptation to be boastful or proud about the things that he has done. He stayed the course when plots and trials came his way. Why? It's because his desire to serve Jesus was greater than any challenge that might stand in his way. So seek to serve Jesus. You might be wondering, what does that mean? What does that look like? And that's a fair question. I just want to say this, don't make it too complicated. When you look back in the Gospels, Jesus talks about this. Jesus says, the ones that serve me, the ones that are truly my disciples are the ones that what? They're the ones that do what I say. That's what Jesus said. Brings us to another question. What did Jesus say? How are we supposed to live that out? Jesus said a lot. You can read about it in the Gospels. But Jesus sums up everything in Matthew chapter 22. He says there's two things that rise above everything else. And if you serve me by doing these two things, everything else falls into place. A lot of you know it. In Matthew 22, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So love God with all you have and love the people that God has placed in your life. And as you move through life seeking to serve Jesus, a great question that you can ask yourself, a great question that you can filter your plans through is simply this. Does this help me love God? Does this help me love my neighbor? As you're making plans for your family, as you're making plans for your life, as you're thinking about how you're raising your kids, as you're making decisions about your finances, as you're making decisions about your job, your employment, where you're going to live, as you make decisions on how you're going to raise your kids in your home, I mean, just ask that question. Does this right here help me love God more? Does it help my family love God more? Does it help my neighbors love God more? Does this help me love other people more? And if the answer to that is yes, if you're filtering things through that decision matrix right there, you're going to serve Jesus in all that you do. That was Paul's heart. He's sharing that with them here. He was willing to serve others in the name of Jesus because he had a genuine heart for the Lord and a genuine heart for them. That's lesson one. Serve Jesus alone. Look at verse 20. He goes on to say, I did not shrink back from declaring anything to you that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Lesson number two for godly leadership and godly living is this: words matter. Words matter. Make sure that when you speak, you are adding value. We all know that one person that might not say too much, but when they speak, you listen, right? They're a man or a woman of a few words, but when they start to come out, you slow down, you pay attention, you take notes. Why? Because you know what they're going to bring to you is full of wisdom. You know that the words that they are giving you are words to live by, words that are going to help or improve your situation. Words matter. And on the flip side, we all know that other person too, right? Hopefully none of us are this other person, but there are some people in our lives we don't take too seriously. Because we know when they speak, they haven't really thought about it, right? That their mouth is always going, but they're very rarely adding value to what's going on here. That's what we see in this text. Our words matter. Look in verse 20 and look at the way he described the words that come out of his mouth. He said that his speech was profitable. His speech was something that was beneficial, that added value to them. And that leads us, hopefully, to some self-evaluation where we've got to wonder, do my words add value to the people around me? Do your words add value to the people that are hearing them? Think about it with possessions. Valuable possessions are treated differently than possessions with little or no value, right? Of course they are. You treat your valuable things a little bit differently. My kids, they've all got these little safes in their room, and they put their most treasured possessions in there. And you can get a good glimpse into their minds and the way it ticks by what they put into those safes. If you were to open it up, you'd find all kinds of crazy things. You'd find probably a little bit of money. You'd find baseball cards that they don't want their brothers to run away with. You'd find their Lego possessions that have been built and taken great care of that they don't want to be destroyed. One day they snuck off with the babysitter's phone and they locked that away in the safe. I'm sure they were just protecting it for her. I think she might be in here too, right? That they just wanted to protect it. But you see where I'm going, right? We can look around and we easily know what's valuable. We know what's important because we treat those things differently. The encouragement here is to begin thinking about your words like that. Some of the words that you say are profitable. They add value. They are beneficial to other people when they're spoken, which means that some don't. Make sure that your words add value. Make sure that your words build people up. Profitable things, profitable words, it means encouraging. It means that building up, but it also means confronting sin. It also means speaking the truth in love, even hard truths in love. Those are profitable words. Look at verse 21. We know that Paul's message that he spoke to them over and over were repent of your sin and place your faith and trust in Jesus. And those were his words, his profitable words that he spoke in private and in public. He was always seeking to point people to Jesus. So again, the question for us is, do our words add value? Are they profitable to those who hear them? Do they reflect the heart of Jesus? Because at the end of the day, we see that they should. And I'm not talking about sharing the gospel every time you open your mouth. I'm simply saying that when we speak in a way that pleases the Lord, we are adding value to others. When we're kind, when we're loving, when we're gracious, when we're faithful, when we're patient, when we're encouraging, we are adding value to the people in our lives that are hearing us speak. But the opposite is also true. When we gossip, when we're crude or impatient, when we're deceitful, when we are unkind or unloving, or when we flat out lie with our words, those words that come out of our mouth hold no value. In fact, they hurt the people that hear them. Words matter. Let's make sure that we add value when we speak. And I'll just put this out there. I think that we all know this and we're all thinking this, but this is words with our mouth and words that we type and post and put online as well, right? Our words matter. Let's make sure that the things that are communicated from us to the world around us add value to the lives of the people that hear them. Look at verse 22 for lesson 3. He goes on and says this, "And now behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account of my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Our third lesson is follow faithfully. Follow faithfully God's lead in your life. John Piper says this about this passage. He writes, "Faithfulness is better than life." Look what he says in verse 22. We know at this point in our reading of this passage that he's going to Jerusalem. We already know that he's in a hurry. We know that it's not just to get a good room in the city as the city's going to fill up at Pentecost. We see here why. Paul writes that he's going to Jerusalem because he is constrained by the Holy Spirit. I want you to think about what that word constrained means, because that's why he's going. Constrained means exactly what you think it means. It means bound. It means compelled. It means that he has to go because of what the Holy Spirit is doing in his heart. That the trip to Jerusalem, it's not his idea. Right? He's following the lead of the leadership of God, the leadership of the Holy Spirit in his life. The Holy Spirit has so impressed this in his heart and in his mind that he has to go. He's not being physically drugged there. He is faithfully following the leadership of the Holy Spirit in his life where God is calling him to go. So again, the question, do you want to live a godly life? Do you want to be a godly leader or have a godly influence over your family, your friends, your peers, your coworkers? Well, here we see that we're called to follow the direction of the Holy Spirit in our life. As he impresses things upon us, we are called to faithfully walk those things out. Look back at the verses, starting in verse 22. He knows that as he does this, from an earthly perspective, things will not go well for him. What's he anticipating there? He's anticipating going to prison. He anticipates affliction. He anticipates trouble and pain and hardship. But what is he doing? He's still doing what God called him to do. He is still faithfully following the lead of the Holy Spirit in his life. This could have easily gone another direction, right? Think about Paul. Paul's incredibly accomplished at this point of his life. He's an older man. He's been on those three missionary journeys all over the world. He's planted churches all across the world, everywhere that he's gone. I have to imagine there were people in his life, maybe even close friends, confidants, that were telling him, don't go. There had to have been people telling him, listen, you've done enough. You've served enough. You've sacrificed enough. You've given enough. It's time for you to retire. It's time for you to slow down. Let someone else go now. You've done enough. Someone had to have been in his ear saying, relax. Stay here. Stay safe. Stay comfortable. Stay away from difficult situations. That's the natural leaning for most of us, isn't it? If we're honest. I mean, I'll say I don't look for difficult situations, right? We look for pleasant things, for pleasant situations. We gravitate towards comfort, towards the situations in our lives that have little or no resistance. The message here is not that. The message here is to follow God wherever he leads. Look at verse 24. He says, my life is of little or no value to me, which means that his priority is not his comfort. His priority is not his pleasure. His priority is doing what God called him to do. His priority, keep reading the verses, his priority is the gospel of the grace of God. It's almost as if he's saying it is better to lose your life than to waste it. C.T. Studd wrote a poem. He's an old guy, lived a long time ago. He said, only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Paul could have relaxed, but he didn't. He stayed focused on what God had called him to do. Listen, don't be distracted here. I'm not saying don't have fun. I'm not saying don't go to the beach. Go to the beach, glorify God, enjoy his creation, all of those things. What Paul is showing us here is do not stop faithfully following God's direction in your life. You might retire from your job one day, but we never retire from serving Jesus and making him known. That's what we see in Paul. At the end of his life, as he's getting close to the end anyway, he is still faithfully following God's direction, and he continued to serve even when he was not sure how things were going to end for him. The question for me as I read this is, how can this man do that? Well, what is going on in his mind and in his heart that allows him to live this way? If you look back at what he says in verse 22, we see that he can follow Jesus into the unknown because he knows that God's going to be there with him. And that's true for you too. Right, as you faithfully follow God, as you step into unknown or uncertain situations, as you step into uncharted waters, all you have to know is that God is going to be there with you. Faithfully following God's leading your life is going to mean that you live different than the culture around us. Here we see the goal is not safety. The goal is not comfort. The goal is to run the race that Jesus laid out for us. The goal is to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And doing that sometimes means going outside of our comfort zone. Sometimes it means doing hard things. Faithfully following Jesus means that there are going to be a lot of times where we have to let go of the temporary to take hold of the eternal. Faithfully follow God's lead in your life. Just think right now while we're talking about this. What has God been calling you to do? What has God been impressing in your heart or in your mind that the voice of God, as he is speaking to you through his word, as he is speaking to you through others, as he is speaking to you through times of prayer, those things that he is impressing on your heart, if you know that God is pulling you in a direction, if you know that God is calling you to do specific things in your life, in your walk, in your family, right now, the lesson here is don't wait. Faithfully follow God's leadership. Look at verse 25, next lesson. He goes on to say this, and now behold, I know that none of you among whom I've gone about proclaiming the kingdom of God will see my face again. He's saying this is our last moment together. Verse 26, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you. For I did not shrink back from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Walk this out with me. Lesson four for godly living and for godly leadership is this. Leave nothing unsaid. Write that down. Leave nothing unsaid. And then put this in parentheses next to it. We're going to explain it. Be found innocent. There's a man that walked into my office several years ago. He's an older man at the time, and he had a major job throughout his career. A lot of influence all over the world with the company that he worked for. And in fact, his job was so important as he was moved around to different countries. He got to know the important people in those countries. There was a scenario where he lived for several years and became close personal friends with the president of a nation on the other side of the world. Not Facebook friends, real friends with this guy. Dinners, lunches, vacations. He was a confidant. He was an advisor. He was someone that the president of this nation would turn to personally to ask advice on different things in his life and in his leadership of the country. And as we sat in my office that afternoon, all this man could speak of was regret. All this man could speak of was all of the missed opportunities that he had with his close personal friend on the other side of the world. He told me that he never shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with this man. And he thinks about it all the time. He wonders what would have happened in his friend's life. He wonders what would have happened in that nation made up of mostly people that had never heard the name of Jesus. He wonders what would have happened if he had left nothing unsaid and shared the whole counsel of the Word of God with this man. And as we sat in my office, we talked and we prayed. We talked about how God forgives us and how God doesn't want us to live in the past dwelling on those things, but instead to look forward at what God is calling us to do now. And I'm telling you this, ever since that time, this man has been committed to not missing the moment. This man has been committed to leaving nothing unsaid. And every week when I talk to him, I hear of him sharing the gospel with people that he runs into in our community. Every week I hear of him being faithful to proclaim the name of Jesus to people right here in our area. And every week I hear of people that are trusting in Jesus, stepping into a life-saving, eternity-altering relationship with him because this man is committed to not missing the moment. Again, look in our Bibles. That is what Paul is saying here. He's saying, you want to live a godly life, be a godly leader, a godly influencer, leave nothing unsaid. He's leaving Ephesus and he says that he's innocent because he said all that God told him to say. What did he say? Look at verse 27. He said, I'm innocent because I proclaim to you the whole counsel of the Word of God. And we know it's true. We've seen him preach throughout the book of Acts. He's telling people to place their faith and trust in Jesus. He's not saying you have to read every Bible verse to every person that you see. He's simply pointing people to Jesus. The Bible points us to Jesus. That's Paul's message. Look back at verse 21. Repent of sin, trust in Jesus. He's saying he's innocent in front of them because he did not shrink back from telling them to believe in Jesus. I want to walk this out. Stay with me. He said he's innocent. For him to say that he's innocent makes sense that it was possible for him to have been guilty, right? If guilt wasn't possible, what's the point of claiming your innocence? So we look here, it would appear that speaking the word of God meant that he's innocent. Had he not spoken the word of God among them, he's saying that he would have been guilty. We know this, guys. Speaking the word of God is the right thing to do. Speaking life into the lives of other people, that is what God has called us to do. So not speaking the word of God is disobedient, is not the right thing to do. Not speaking the word of God is not faithfully following Jesus. Not speaking the word of God is not serving Jesus. Not speaking the word of God, it's not adding value with your words. The lesson here is leave nothing unsaid in the relationships that God has given you in your life. Let's make sure that, like Paul says here, that we have spoken the word of God to the people around us. When you leave your job, like Paul left Ephesus, when you're transferred, when you move, when you retire, when you quit, let's make sure that you can leave your job saying, I have left nothing unsaid. I have spoken the good news of Jesus Christ to the people that I work with. When you leave your home, when you move, or when a neighbor moves away, be sure that you can say, man, they're leaving, they're moving away, or I'm leaving and I'm moving away, and I have nothing unsaid in my relationship with them. I have spoken the word of Christ to them. Students, man, think about school. Think about the classes that you're in, the teams that you're on, the organizations that you're a part of. Make sure that as you leave those classes, as you leave those schools, you can look back like God's word says here and say, man, I have done everything that God has called me to do. I have left nothing unsaid. I still, like that man I referenced earlier, think back on those moments that I've missed over the course of my life. Students specifically right now, I think back to those times in high school. I look for people this week online on social media that I never shared with that I still wish that I could. And I'm telling you this, sometimes you don't get a second chance, right? Sometimes you have this one period of time and relationships with the people that God has brought into your life. Like Paul says here, leave nothing unsaid. Look at verse 28. He goes on to say this, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." Pause here for a minute. Remember the context of this. This message is being spoken to the elders of the church in Ephesus. This is to the church leadership here. We know that this applies to us as well. We all have leadership and influence over every single one of over every single person that is in our life, right? So as he's speaking these words here, he's now charging them as they're stepping into leaders of the church because he is backing out. And the lesson here, for our fifth lesson of godly leadership and godly living, is this, guys: it's stay pure. Right, stay pure in your relationship with God. Paul's telling them, and he's telling us, to pay attention to our lives. He's saying, pay attention to the way that you live, to your intimate walk with Jesus. He's saying, pay attention to the lives of the people around you. It's a call to purity and godly living. It's a reminder, I want you to think about this, that your walk with Christ impacts other people's walk with Christ as well. In the early 1800s, there was a Scottish pastor, Robert Murray McSheen, and he wrote this: "My church's greatest need." What do you think he said? Think about it for a second. Scottish pastor, 1800s, "My church's greatest need." How do you think he filled in that blank? He said, "My church's greatest need is my personal holiness. My church, above everything else, needs my holiness." So think about it like this. The greatest need for the people in your life around you, it's your personal holiness. The greatest need for your spouse, for your kids, for your families, for your workplace, it's your personal holiness. It's your walk with Jesus. He didn't say the greatest need for my church is the best preaching. He didn't say the greatest need for my church is the best worship leader, or the best lights, or sounds, or screens, or kids ministry, or student ministry. He said, above anything else, and we want to do all those things good, right? But above anything else, he said, the church needs personal holiness. That's what Paul's telling these leaders. He is setting them up, saying, you guys are going to take over. You guys are going to lead the way. Be careful now, and keep a watch over how you live your life, because your holiness, your walk with Jesus, is going to directly impact those around you. Your holiness is going to directly impact the church. And if you look at verse 28, we know how God feels about the church. The church is so valuable that it was paid for with the blood of Jesus himself, right? The lesson in these last words to them and to you and to me is to stay pure before God, seeking to avoid sin, seeking to live a godly life. And as we do that, not only will we draw close, but we will help other people in our lives draw close to Jesus as well. We'll protect those around us that we love and know and care about, because when they drift into sin, we will lovingly speak profitable words into their life and we will bring them back. When we stay pure before God, when false teachers, when false messages, when false ideas begin to creep into the church or the church family, as we stay pure, we will push them out and redirect hearts and minds back to Jesus as well. As we stay pure in our living before God, we'll ensure that our families and that our church brings glory and honor to Jesus. So stay pure. Watch over your life and how you live. If your priorities right now pull your heart away from Jesus, it's time to push reset. It's time to rearrange things in your life. If there are habits, if there are sins in your mind or in your heart, things that are not pleasing to Christ, the message here is that it's time to let those things go. It's time to repent of those, turn back to Jesus, and live a life of purity before him. Look at verse 35. He goes on to say, "In all things I have shown you that by working hard, we must help the weak." Remember the words of Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Lesson 6 is spend generously. Just this reminder that all we have is from God, it belongs to God, and he cares what we do with it. Here, we're called to help the weak, to take care of those that cannot take care of themselves. Be generous when you give. Be generous when you serve and help others. And Jesus says in his words down there in verse 35, we will be blessed when we do. Look at verse 36. When he had said these things, so Paul finishes now. When he had said these things, he kneels down and he prays with the group there. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul, they kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word that he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And then they walked him down to the boat. He's about to get on the boat, leave. They'll never see him again. This scenario right here where they're together, they're huddled, they're praying, they're weeping, they're crying, they're sad because this friendship is about to go two different directions, brings us to our last lesson, and it's simply this: share life, right? Share your life with the people around you. The picture that we have of the church and the Word of God, it is active and it is alive, right? We don't look in the Bible and see that the church is stagnant. The church is not an academic gathering where people take in information and then people go their separate ways for the week. The church that we see in the Bible is not a bunch of people that don't know each other. It's not a bunch of people that don't love each other, don't care about each other, that aren't friends with one another. The picture that we see here is hearts knit together, people that love one another, that care about one another, people that protect, encourage, that build up, people that speak the truth and love to one another to protect one another's personal holiness in their walks with Jesus as well. We see genuine love here, right? People that are sharing life with one another. And as different as we all are, this is possible, right? It's possible because when we believe in Jesus, we're made children of God, and we have this bond now that cannot be broken. So let me encourage you here today with this last lesson of sharing life. If you don't have a deep, intimate, relational connection with the church family like we see here, I want to encourage you this morning to begin making steps to move in that direction. There's a membership class going on right now across the hall with a bunch of people that are coming into the church family. And our message to them is, this is a family. Get in, be known, get involved, make connections with other people. And if you haven't done that, let me encourage you to do that as well. Walk out of here to our welcome desk afterwards and say, I need a life group, right? Help me know people. Help me share my life with others. Plug in, and I'm telling you, your life and the trajectory of it will be changed. If you want to live a godly life, you want to be a godly leader, have a godly influence on those around you, I believe that you do. That's why you're here. We've got a great example of it in Paul, this powerful moment as he speaks these last words to this church. The original audience went through a lot to hear this. They walked 40 miles round trip just to hear these words. They worked to know it. It meant something to them. It sunk down into their hearts, and I can assure you that this church family lived it out. Let's make sure that our church family here and now today, we treat these words just like they did. Let them sink in and change our hearts and change the way we live. Would you pray with me? I just want to encourage you for a minute. Your head bowed, your eyes closed. I understand that sometimes it's really hard to take in seven different things and process it and think it out. Now, how am I going to live these different things out? I just want to encourage you and say that it all starts with Jesus, right? Those are the first things that Paul said there. He sought to serve Jesus faithfully. So this morning, let me tell you that if you're not a follower of Christ, I'm incredibly glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're opening the Word of God with us. I'm glad that you got to see and know and hear what the Word of God says this morning. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ and you want to, you're ready to, if He is impressing that in your heart right now, do what we see in God's Word and follow. Live that out. Do what God's calling you to do this morning. If in your mind and in your heart right now you're thinking, I need to get things right with God. I need to trust Jesus as my Savior. Do not leave here today without doing that. We have a connection room in the back, and when we leave, I want you to step in there and pray and just tell the person that's in there, I'm ready to trust Jesus. And the rest of your life is going to be completely different as you live as a child of God. For those of us that have trusted Christ, I want you to think for a moment. I'm sure that somewhere along these lessons for leadership and living in a way that pleases God, I'm sure at some point along the way, God impressed something specific on your heart. God impressed something specific on what He's calling you to do. Maybe He's calling you to reorganize your priorities so that you're serving Him alone. Maybe you were reminded this morning that your words matter and God convicted you that you need to begin speaking or typing in a way that's profitable to others. Maybe God impressed on your heart the need to faithfully follow him. Maybe you'd say you've been seeking your comfort and your ease more than the race that God's laid out for you. Maybe when I said, leave nothing unsaid, God started stirring something up in your heart. And you thought of areas, scenarios, people in your life where God's telling you it's time to speak up so that when that season, that chapter of your life closes, you can leave saying, I've spoken the full counsel of the Word of God to the people that God's placed in my life right here, right now. Maybe you're reminded this morning about the need to be pure before God and how your purity before God, how it impacts the people around you. Maybe there's some sin that God brought to your mind that you need to repent of right now, that you need to confess before him. If that's the case, do that right now. Pray on these things. Maybe this morning, when we saw how we're called to spend generously to help others, maybe you say, you know what, I spend a lot, but I spend it on myself. If that's the case, I mean, think about how you can help and serve others with the resources that God has blessed you with. And then that last one, don't overlook it. Maybe this morning God is just pricking your heart and say, hey, you're doing this alone. You're walking in and you're walking out and you don't know people and you don't love people and you don't care for people and they don't know you and they haven't gotten the chance to love you and care for you and support you. Maybe this morning God is impressing on your heart the need for you to share life with the other people that God has placed here in our church family. If that's the case today, do not leave without plugging in, without getting to know someone. You're probably not going to know how to do that on your own. Come ask one of us. Come pray with one of us. Come talk to one of us. And man, we would love to walk you through what it looks like to be a part of the church family where you're known and loved and cared for and where you have the opportunity, because the church needs you, where you have the opportunity to love and care for others. Whatever it is that God's impressing on your heart, my prayer this morning for each one of us is that we'd be obedient and we'd walk it out, that we wouldn't leave here and forget it, that we wouldn't leave here and ignore it, that we do what God's calling us to do. We're going to end in just a minute by standing. We're going to sing one last song together. I want to encourage you to worship God this morning out of the overflow of your heart. And if God has placed something on your heart, if you're ready to trust him as your Savior, if you saw that baptism earlier and you're thinking, you know what, that's what God's calling me to, that next step of following him in baptism this morning, come talk to one of us. If you came in carrying a burden and you need to do this last thing, if you need to share life, if you need someone to pray over you, to invest in you, to love on you, whatever it is, our connection room is going to be open in the back to my left and to your right. When we stand and sing, that'll be your invitation to slip in there and pray with one of our prayer partners. Just step in, tell them your name, and tell them what's on your heart. God, we love you so much, and we thank you for your love for us. God, I pray that we would be faithful to live and do all that your word has called us to do. God, I pray that you would continue to impress upon our hearts your word so we would continue to grow and live godly lives before you and have a godly influence over the people around us. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Would you stand with us? We're going to worship this morning. And if you would like to pray, and now's your moment, right there in the back left.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.